This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Give Evan and Tiki a call at 888-808-1019. Bring your expert analysis on The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 103. McMonagle here with you. I just want to, we're looking at something here because we're talking about Eli Manning in the Hall of Fame, future football legends. Is that what I'm saying? So obviously, if you're listening, Eli Manning did not get into the Hall of Fame. He is not a first ballot Hall of Famer. In fact, he wasn't even in the top 10 for the first ballot Hall of Fame. And it's not only just that, right? It's looking forward. Like, I can't imagine him not getting in eventually. I think he will get in eventually. But you start looking at the list. Like, I just did next year. Next year, there's two guarantees, locks. Larry Fitzgerald and Drew Brees. They're in 100%. You could... Jason Witten is also up for the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's one of the better tight ends of his generation, and then Phillip Rivers, right? But two locks, two other guys that might be right in the same bubble as Eli Manning. Then you get to 2027, and you got Peterson. Who are the other ones? Peterson?
Gronk.
Gronk. That's two locks right there.
And then the maybe is Richard Sherman.
And then maybe is Richard Sherman.
And we should be clear. We think we're basing this on what we expect the writers to do, not necessarily when we would put guys in.
Right. No, but I mean, these are... No, Peterson's getting in.
And Roethlisberger is that year.
And the same year, Roethlisberger. That's three... I think Roethlisberger...
It's funny. Roethlisberger, Le'Veon Bell, and Antonio Brown all eligible in the same ballot.
I think Roethlisberger is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He had better year. He was... To me, he was at the top of the league in a bunch of different years. He was one of the best two or three quarterbacks in the NFL. He has two Super Bowl wins as well. Only one MVP, I believe.
But, we talk about winning. Yeah. His career regular season record, 165-81-1.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's 80 games over 500.
He has twice as many wins as losses, more than that.
Yeah. And Eli Manning is 500. So this year, next year coming up, two guaranteed locks. In my mind, you could have three first ballot Hall of Famers the year after that. Now, you're only allowed five. So he's got to be, next year, he's got to be one of the other three. The year after that, if he didn't get in, he'd have to be one of the final two. And then you get past that. What's the next year?
The next year, two guarantees, Tom Brady, J.J. Watt, And again, not saying I would put this guy in over Eli, but he'll be in that mix of quarterbacks from this time period. Great regular season stats.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan. It just muddies the waters a little bit.
He won an MVP. He has good numbers. Again, I wouldn't put him in over Eli either. But again, that's still at least two guarantees. Brady and J.J. Watt are going in. So, I mean, next year you've got Fitzgerald and Breeze, who are locks. The year after that, you've got Peterson, Gronk, and Roethlisberger, who in my mind are locks. And then the year after that, you got Brady and J.J. Watt.
And then the year after that...
We might be having this conversation every February.
The following year, from guys who just retired, Aaron Donald and Jason Kelce.
And then the year after that is Kelce and Donald.
Fletcher Cox is on there, who is maybe on that borderline.
But those two are locks. Every year from now and until, because we don't know who's going to retire this year.
If Travis hangs it up after the Super Bowl, there's another spot that just goes away.
Goes away. So from now...
Rodgers, too. Those are two guys who might legitimately retire this offseason.
If Rodgers doesn't play and Kelce doesn't play, that's two. Like, there's a lot. Like, there are two locks from now until forever for Eli Manning to deal with. Every year, he's going in with only three open spots. And if you're noticing a trend, it's probably, this is going to be a common theme.
Because if we're saying he was not top 10, let's say he was 11th this year and four guys got in.
Right.
So that means there's six guys on that list minimum that already are garnering more support now.
Right.
So if you're just adding two or three of them in every year, we're talking, 2028 or 9 at the very earliest?
Yeah. If they continue to hold on to this where they put Vinatieri over him, they put Kuechly over him, you put those two guys in the Hall of Fame along with Fitz and Breeze, okay, now you still got three other guys to go with Peterson and Gronk and Roethlisberger. And then on those, there'll be other guys who aren't guaranteed.
How they view Roethlisberger versus Eli will be very interesting.
Oh, I think they view him much more favorably. And I think rightfully so. Roethlisberger was better than Eli. We got to be honest with ourselves here. I love Eli Manning. Love him to death. My guy. Will always be my guy. Won those championships. We will all love him. Plus, I think he's actually really good at what he's doing now. He's funny. He's glib. I never get bored of watching him on TV, even though you see him everywhere. I think Eli does a great job.
I actually thought that was already going to help him.
Yeah.
I would say now, if we didn't know, okay, that's got to help him. Maybe he can get some more support and pass some of the guys who got more votes than him this year. But he's already been that. I mean, we've had the Manning cast for three seasons now.
Yeah.
He's already been that really personable guy. And there's a TV show coming out about Chad Powers in a couple months. So he's already done all of that off the field, had this great post-playing career.
Yeah.
And it's clearly not helping him at all.
No.
Not that it necessarily should, but
right,
now we have kind of definitive proof that it is not.
No. I mean, they made it. This was a statement that they view those two runs as special, and maybe we'll get him in the Hall of Fame. In fact, I think it will eventually. But those were not, they don't override the fact that he was never a top five quarterback. He was never an MVP candidate. He was a 500 quarterback who only made the playoffs five times. Like, when it came to the first ballot, at least, that was more important to the voters than winning the two championships. The guy, I forget who it was. I should go back and look at it. But Mad Dog had someone on his show. I forget who it was, but he's a Hall of Fame voter. And he said the final line that he was like, when we were discussing it, someone said, and it was, I think it convinced most of the room is how he put it, Eli Manning is not a Hall of Fame player, but had Hall of Fame moments. Hall of Fame moments, not a Hall of Fame player. I think that's what they said. That was what presented last night. Eli Manning. Hall of Fame moments, not Hall of Fame player.
Funny because that sounds like something Mike or Dog would have come up with back in the day.
Right, exactly. Now, hopefully those Hall of Fame moments are good enough, but it wasn't for this, and it gets tough. Again, the next 4 years all have at least two mortal locks ahead of them.
We could get to a point where Joe Flacco ends up retiring and on the ballot while Eli is still there. And Flacco obviously won fewer Super Bowl, but has the good player, not top five quarterback, incredible run. And Flacco's run might be the best run we've ever seen from a quarterback who was just good.
Correct. He that year he was even better than Eli was in any of the. He was incredible. He hardly threw an incompletion.
Yeah, he completed like 60% of his passes. I know he didn't throw a pick in that run.
In that run. No,
should have if Raheem Moore knew what he was doing, but he didn't.
Right. He was incredible in that run. But I'm not worried about Flacco over Eli.
It's just weird. No, like how this ballot last night changes a lot of how I'm thinking about the current Hall of Fame.
No, absolutely.
I know there were some rule changes, but this was like a bombshell in terms of how we think the NFL Hall of Fame voters approach this.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's changed the scope of the is Eli elite conversation. They didn't even put him in the top 10. It changes how we all should feel about the is Eli elite conversation. At least in the minds of the Hall of Fame voters, they answered, no, he's not elite. He's had great moments, and maybe that'll carry him, but he is not someone we look at and say, oh, one of the great players in NFL history, got to put him in the Hall of Fame. Tim in Willingston Park. What's up, Tim?
Hey, good morning, Chris.
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Oh, I just wanted to weigh in on this Eli Manning thing. And I don't want to be a statistician, but he's all-time 11th ranking total passing yards. He's ranked 11th all-time touchdowns.
Yeah.
There's only three people ahead of him in terms of Super Bowl MVPs.
Right.
And he has a 666% winning percentage in playoff games. Although I know they're limited. I heard your points before.
Yeah.
I think there's a little bit of a hypocrisy here because you look at someone like Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and they talk a lot. And when I say they, I'm going to go a general media thing. But they talk a lot about, you know, what is it going to mean if these guys can't win the big games? This guy won the big games. So it's kind of like you can't really play both sides of the equation. Like if you're going to say, yeah, this guy deserves this because he won big playoff games, and this guy doesn't deserve this because he didn't win big playoff games, I don't know how the Hall of Fame decides what they do.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. He played a long time, and yeah, he finished 11th in passing yards, but let's look at how many of the people ahead of him are his contemporaries. Like, he played in an era where, unfortunately, there was just a lot of good quarterbacks who were better than him, and he didn't win a lot of games. And he led the league in one statistic three times, interceptions. That's it. He never led the league.
Good point. I didn't look that one up.
He never led the league in passing yards. He never led the league in touchdowns. He led the league in one category, and he did it three different times, interceptions.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So how does the Hall of Fame decide whether or not they're putting like four people in or five people in? Do you know how that works?
Well, I think it's a maximum of five, and then it's just whoever makes the cut. They got to get a certain percentage of the vote.
Okay.
You got to get 80% of the vote. And then they'll limit it to five, but that's it. I don't think sometimes it's one, sometimes it's five, but you got to get 80%.
To your earlier point, I'm not disconcerted about the fact that Eli didn't get in on the first ballot. I understand that that's probably an ego blow, and I hope he gets in eventually.
Yeah,
but at the same time, I'm a little bit more concerned about the fact that if they lay out all the votes, that he was that far back in the.
Yeah, no, I agree.
In a situation.
That's the story. The story is not, to me, the story is not Eli Manning didn't make the Hall of Fame tonight. That's not the story. The story is he wasn't close. The story is we've had this discussion back and forth about whether or not Eli's a Hall of Famer and whether or not Eli is elite. We've been having this conversation before Eli retired. We've been having this talk for a long time. And in my open, I joked about the idea that it's such a polarizing topic because you can make arguments on both sides of it. It's such a polarizing topic that we always joke. It's like the goat. If you're ever really struggling, you're doing one of my 5-hour midnight rides or something, and like nobody's calling and it's dead. You just go to the Is Eli Elite conversation because it'll spark controversy because there's plenty of people who feel both ways about it.
Good thing is we're going to have that to go to for another 3 to 4 to 5 years.
That's true, yeah. It's still going to be there. But, I mean, the Hall of Fame voters just answered that question. Like, is Eli elite? Not to them. Like, that's what is interesting to me. Like, you know, Luke Kuechly got more votes. Luke Kuechly. He's not in the top 10. Like that, they made a statement, sort of. I don't know if that was their intention necessarily, but they made a statement about Eli Manning. They did. And so now we have to see moving forward, and it only gets harder. Kelvin in Bergen County. What's up, Kelvin?
What's going on, C-Mac? How's everything?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you, man. And what's concerning to me is that this is the lightest draft, lightest class in the last 20 years, too. And for him to be that far back,
yeah,
it's completely concerning. I don't know how long it's going to take for him to get in there.
I don't know.
But and I was actually looking like at other stats of other Hall of Famers that are in there, like Terry Bradshaw. He's got better numbers than Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah, it's a different world, and I can't speak too eloquently about Terry Bradshaw. I didn't see him play, but I hear what you're saying. It's a different. They didn't pass as much. It's a different world now. It was harder to play. It was much easier to play defense back then. It was easier to be a defensive back. You could actually touch. You could actually touch the wide receivers. You could hit the quarterbacks. So the numbers are going to be skewed in some way. So I don't think you just look at it and say, oh, he's better than Terry Bradshaw. You can make the case if you want. I don't really care. But I think Terry Bradshaw, I didn't see him play.
And also to do it, I think what they're not taking into account is not only just winning those two games and beating Brady and beating the undefeated Patriots, doing it in this market, which is tough. You're hearing it every single day. Oh, Eli. He probably, especially with throwing interceptions, forget about it. Giants fans, it was a hate-love relationship with him. But at the end of the day, he gave us two rings in New York City. And that, to me, triumphs him. He should be in the Hall of Fame. It's second or third ballot, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, we'll see. I thought a case could be made to make him a first ballot Hall of Famer. I did. But like we're just trying to be fair here. And again, you could go to numbers and stats, and he's 11th in passing yards total. He played a lot of years, and he played 16 years in the NFL. He played every single game, and he played during the era where the passing game really became the NFL. But again, he led the league in one category. Other than longest pass, there was one in two. He led the league in 2011 with the longest play from scrimmage, 99 yards. I'm trying to remember which one that was. Fleece is on the phone. I'm trying to break his balls. 99 yards to Victor Cruz on Christmas Eve. Like that's it. He's got the and in 2010 he had a 92 yard completion. That one I don't remember. But that's it. 92-yard completion in 2010, the 99-yard completion of Victor Cruz in 2011. So he led the league in the longest pass play from scrimmage and interceptions three times. And one of the years...
one of them we know was a five-yard pass.
Yeah, and that's why you were on the phone and I was trying to get you for that one. In 2007, when they won the Super Bowl, he threw 20 picks that year. 2010, he threw 25. 2013, he threw 27 interceptions. He threw a lot of interceptions. Thomas in Hackettstown. What's up, Thomas?
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good. You know, I just don't get it. If we view the Hall of Fame based off of Super Bowls and Super Bowl MVPs, he's a shoo-in. But the regular season record is not as pretty, and I can understand it. But you know, where's the borderline here? Where's the call? Giants fan,
they're telling you that a 500 quarterback who never led the league in anything was never a top five player at his position in the sport, and never sniffed an MVP, and only made the playoffs five times and only won more than 10 games five times isn't good enough to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. No matter what he did, no matter what he did for two playoff runs.
Yeah, no, I get you.
That's
know,
what they told you.
You can see their side too, but it's absolutely. Just, you know, knowing what he did and the biggest moment of it all with the other undefeated team, it's a hard pill to swallow.
Listen, it's not, yeah, it is. It's a hard pill to swallow knowing where he finished, because now I'm concerned he won't get in. Like, or that it'll be a long drag out every year type thing. Now, he's living a great life. He's got two Super Bowl rings, and every single Giant fan who had the pleasure of watching him play beloves him. So, I mean, it's not like he's got, you know, nothing else to live for. He's enjoying himself. But this will be now every year whether or not this is the year for Eli Manning, because I don't know about next year. Because if you told me there are at least four other candidates who they felt were more deserving this year, you bring those four back, you've got two guaranteed. He's got to be the first guy up out of the top. Like, that's how, like, when you start playing this game, I don't know about next year. And then the year after that has three guys that I think are higher on the list than Eli Manning. And the next year has two after that. Like, it gets... And you could argue Jason Witten next year. You could argue Larry Fitzgerald, Drew Brees, Jason Witten are all guys they'll put in the Hall of Fame ahead of Eli Manning. And then there's Phillip Rivers next year as well, although I don't think they would put Phillip Rivers over Eli Manning. But it's going to be a few years. We're going to have this discussion again next year because he's not getting in.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official home to talk New York Knicks. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
So I'm watching the highlights. I watched a little bit of it. Snoop Dogg was the host of the NFL Awards show. Had a couple of funny jokes. Then they brought Jelly Roll out there with him. I saw that segment. He was Snoop was dressed as a Steeler. Made a couple of jokes that I don't remember them, but they were somewhat funny. And then Jelly Roll came out there and was just...
Did you see the Belichick's girlfriend joke?
Oh, yeah, it was...
Snoop was talking about, I was a Cowboys fan. Remember when the Cowboys were good?
Yeah.
When the Chiefs were bad? Belichick's girlfriend wasn't alive for any of that.
Yeah. Right. That was funny. And she was wearing one of his Super Bowl rings. Look at him up there now with Dion wearing. Is that all six? How many does he have up there? 1, 2, 3. Yeah, he's got all of them on his finger right now. Bill Belichick wore all of his Super Bowl rings? Good Lord. We know, Bill. Like, we know you have them. Just pick one or two, max. And I just saw where the commissioner is sitting. He's sitting in like the seventh row. Jared Goff is closer to the... Come on, commish.
People will tell you, like, if you're in a theater, you don't want to be in the first, like, at least 3 or 4 rows. That's not where the house seats are.
Yeah.
Because you're a little too close to the stage.
Maybe. But, I mean, it's not really a show. I guess, is it a show? It's not like you're seeing... Denzel Washington perform Othello or anything. As O'Connell won Coach of the Year. We'll get to it in a second. I want to get through a couple more of these Eli calls. We'll get to the awards. We'll get to the game. We'll get to the legacy questions. And we'll get to some baseball stuff, too. Winston in Manhattan. What's up, Winston?
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call.
You got it.
I just want to... Listen, I understand the fascination and with Eli Manning. He was a great Giant, and I love the Manning family, but do you, with the eye test, will you really say that Eli Manning was the Hall of Fame quarterback? I do not believe so. That most people who saw him play say, man, that's a Hall of Fame right there. He was a great Giant quarterback.
Yeah.
There is a difference between being a Hall of Famer and being a great Giant.
Yeah, I don't disagree. He was never one of the great quarterbacks in the league, right? It's just the truth. He was never a top quarterback in the league. But the quarterback position, unlike any other position on the field, is judged by winning. And he's got 2 Super Bowl MVPs, and no other quarterback that has 2 Super Bowl MVPs has not gotten into the Hall of Fame.
Well, those are just accomplishments.
And there's only a couple of them, too. It's only Bradshaw, Brady and Montana.
But those are single accomplishments. I understand you were the best in the Super Bowl because you won them. Can you show me? Because you say MVP and you throwing it out like he was the best in the league. He was not.
I said he wasn't.
Okay, but Super Bowl MVP and league MVP are 2 totally different things.
Right.
So, what is the percentage of Patrick Mahomes winning the quarterback, winning the Super Bowl, and Jalen Hurts winning the Super Bowl this on Sunday? I guarantee you that the percentage of them winning the MVP is 90%. Because the quarterback, when you win, almost always the quarterback, the MVP is given to them. Not always, but I will tell you, it's almost like 90% or close to it.
All
right, but the point is, you could give me all the percentages you want. There's been three other men in history to do it. He's the fourth, and the other three are in the Hall of Fame.
So
you make it sound like it's easy to go do. In the history of the Super Bowl era, only three other guys have done it.
No. I'm not saying that it's easy.
Right.
I never said that.
Well, you're trying to make it sound like, hey, if you win the Super Bowl, you probably get the MVP because you're a quarterback. It doesn't mean you necessarily were the best player. Like, you have to win two Super Bowls first off. There's not a lot of guys who have. And then you got to be the MVP of the game.
Do you think that if his name was Joe Flacco, that we would be really so fascinated at why he didn't get into the Hall of Fame?
If his name was Joe Flacco and he started for the Giants and he won two Super Bowls and two Super Bowl MVPs,
Same situation.
Yes. The quarterback of the New York Giants, I don't care that his last name is Manning. The quarterback of the New York Giants won two Super Bowls and two Super Bowl MVPs. And beat the undefeated Patriots and Tom Brady twice. Yes. If his name was Joe Flacco who did that, we'd be having the same conversation. I agree with you. He was never an MVP type player. He was never the guy in the league. Never. Never up for All-Pro. Never up for MVP. Not him. But don't dismiss the Super Bowl MVPs, if you win the Super Bowl and you're the quarterback, most likely, he's got to go out there and win the Super Bowl. Like, Joe Montana, Tom Brady, Terry Bradshaw. That's it. He's joined a very elite group when he won two MVPs. When he won two Super Bowl MVPs, he joined a very elite group. Oh, and I guess now Mahomes is one too, right? Obviously, Mahomes would be the other one. Joe in Belmar, what's up, Joe?
Hey, yeah, I was just wondering what you thought about Tom Coughlin, because Eli Manning, I thought he was going to get in based off those two runs.
Yeah.
And now that Tom Coughlin, you think he'll ever get in? Because it seems like they're not favoring those two runs. And I think Tom Coughlin's part of his career was those two runs.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously he's a two-time Super Bowl winning head coach. He also took
Jaguars.
Yeah, he took what's the word I'm looking for? I'm losing it. Expansion. He took an expansion team in the Jaguars to AFC Championship game. He was a great coach for a long time. I think you can make this very strong argument that Tom Coughlin's even more deserving of the Hall of Fame than Eli Manning is.
So do you think he gets in before Eli Manning?
I don't know. He wasn't even on the list this year, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even know when he's eligible or how they even work.
I'm assuming he is. I'm assuming he is eligible already.
I know they were talking about the afternoon show.
Yeah, they were talking about
Tiki thinks he should be in. And
yes, he should be. He should be in.
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, and thank you for the call. He wasn't even a finalist.
Yeah, if you're a voter who doesn't think Eli is worthy, don't you have to think Coughlin is? Because somebody had to be responsible for those Super Bowls.
Right. All right, so you're saying that if you're not going to give the quarterback, he looked at it the other way. You're looking at it as if someone's got to get credit for two Super Bowls and beating Tom Brady.
Somebody was responsible for them beating the 18-0 Patriots. And if you're going to say it's not Eli Manning and he was along for the ride, okay, then Tom Coughlin was the driver.
So, but if Eli Manning got in, would it be like, okay, then I don't have to reward the coach? Like, I don't know.
I just don't get how you cannot vote for both.
Yeah, that I agree.
Like, you have to be in favor of one of them.
Yeah.
If not both, but you can't say neither.
No, I get you. Well, the importance of those runs are clearly lesser in the minds of the Hall of Fame voters than to us.
And I mean, I know we it's New York, we blow some stuff out of proportion. If you want to say that about the second one,
right,
fine.
Right.
The Patriots were undefeated. This is a 2-touchdown-plus favorite in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Nobody thought the Giants had a chance to win that game.
Nobody. No, they were. I think it was 14.5-point, or even more than that, underdog. They were supposed to get killed.
That offense was just running up and down everybody, and they held the Giants held them to 14 points.
Amazing.
Brady had the joke before the Super Bowl. Plax made the comment, 21-17, we're only going to score 17 points.
Yeah.
You're not even going to get to 17.
Amazing. And then you want to talk about that's the coach, right? And the defense, great job by Spags, obviously. But to hold that team to 14 points, yeah, the coach definitely, Coughlin should be in the Hall of Fame. Long career, did a great job with Jacksonville as an expansion franchise, won 2 Super Bowls with the Giants. The organization has fallen to absolute crap since he left. Like, I definitely think Tom Coughlin has a right to the Hall of Fame.
He was a coach finalist on last year's ballot.
Okay, and he wasn't this year. Because Mike Holmgren took it over?
Yeah.
So how does that work now? So Mike Holmgren was a coach finalist. But he didn't get voted in?
Correct, yes.
So you didn't get the 80%. I mean, Mike Holmgren.
And also, how does Holmgren get, like, he won Super Bowl win?
Right. He took 2 different franchises to the Super Bowl.
I'm not trying to dump on Holmgren or anything, but how does he go over Coughlin?
Yeah, I don't know. He took 2 franchises to the Super Bowl, and he's got a better win-loss record.
I mean, Tom Coughlin is like the originator of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Like the reason that franchise got off the ground.
Yeah. No, I agree. Tom Coughlin should be a Hall of Famer. I agree. I think you can make the case even before Eli. What he did in Jacksonville, the 2 Super Bowl championships with the Giants. Just an unbelievable coaching job. And because, let's be honest, both Super Bowls, you could go through those games and tell me where the Giants are clearly better than the teams they beat. Right? They were definitely not better than Dallas. They were definitely not better than Green Bay. And they were definitely not better than the undefeated Patriots. And then, yeah, they're probably better than the Falcons. And the first run, you could say they're better than Tampa Bay, even though that game was on the road as well. But they're better than the Falcons. But then they're not better than the 16-1 defending Super Bowl champion Aaron Rodgers-led Green Bay Packers. And pound for pound, talent-wise, that 49ers defense was ferocious. Now, they had Alex Smith as the quarterback, but, like, you could make a case that pound for pound, that team was more talented than the Giants. And then, again, the same thing in the Super Bowl. It's Brady and Belichick. I mean, Tom Coughlin won 2 Super Bowls where you could argue he played 2, in both of those runs combined, played 2 games where he was the favorite. I got to look back at the point spread. But he might not even been the favorite in Tampa Bay. I'll see if we can find the point spreads on that. I would say he was the favorite in 1 game. They were probably the favorite against the Falcons at home, the wild card round of 2011. Isaac in Homedale. What's up, Isaac?
Hi. First time listener. Major fan of yours.
Oh, thank you.
Sure. Actually, 2 points. My first one's pretty fast, but I'll get to it. You just brought up Spags before. I think Spags is already a Hall of Famer for what he did last year with the Chiefs and, again, what he did with the Giants. I think he's a brilliant. I just wanted to know about your take on that.
Yeah. You know, I was listening to Tiki doesn't think any coordinator will get in. At least that's how I hope I'm representing him right. I was listening as I was, like, doing stuff in my house, and I think that's what he said. That he doesn't think it'll happen. I mean, if the Chiefs win on Sunday, and now he's got 5 Super Bowls as defensive coordinator, with 2 different franchises, and he beat the undefeated Tom Brady and the Patriots. I mean, at some level, I mean, why wouldn't a coordinator be worthy of getting in? Whether he gets in or not, he wins this game. He's the greatest defensive coordinator of all time.
And
might be already.
He also
Yeah, no, listen. Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, my second point, which is actually my main point, I like to bring it up. I'm like, I like to just bring up the MVP idea and to like compare it to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And like just the contrast. I feel like the MVP is more of like what player brings value to your team. What player has better statistics that year?
Right.
And the contrast, a Hall of Famer is not about who has a better year, who has better numbers. It's about who has more fame, who is greater in the sport. Which, when you're factoring that, I feel, and this is where I feel like they went really wrong this year, Eli Manning won Tom Brady.
I hear you. I don't know if the Hall of Fame is about fame necessarily. I disagree with you on that. Like, we were just going to get into a discussion because, and we'll do it when we get back, Josh Allen won the MVP while Lamar Jackson won All-Pro at the position. And you could say, well, All-Pro, he's the best quarterback in the league. You look at his numbers, touchdown passes, passing yards, like all the numbers. He had a better statistical season than Josh Allen, but Josh Allen was more valuable to his team. They had, you know, they added Derrick Henry to their team. He had really no help whatsoever. They had a better defense, Baltimore. They had a better running back. You could argue Flowers is the best wide receiver of both teams. So it was Josh Allen who took a lesser team further, won more games, and then took a team further in the playoffs. Although I know that doesn't matter in the voting for the MVP, but still, you get my point. So that's why he's the MVP, while they could still say Lamar Jackson is the best quarterback in the league. But Hall of Fame to me is about the great. It's just greatness. That's it. It's about greatness. And sometimes if you put together, in Eli Manning's case, two great runs that win you championships, and championships are great. Like, that's greatness. Greatness is winning. The ultimate prize, winning the championship. That's what greatness, that's how you define greatness in some ways. Sometimes you have to define it as Dan Marino, who was just one of the pure passers who ever lived and as talented as anyone, and no, he doesn't have the championship. Clearly, he was great. And sometimes greatness is winning. So I think there are different ways to describe greatness or feel about greatness, but that's what the Hall of Fame is to me, greatness. And you don't have to do it for an entire career all the time. You can be just really good for most of your career with a couple of greatness years. And that's how I view Eli Manning. Really good, solid, played every single game, was always accountable for the New York Giants, always, you know, represented them well, and was a top 10 to 12 quarterback in the league every single year. And he had two runs of pure greatness. And I think, and most of you probably think, and Giant fans think, those 2 years of greatness, considering how the levels of greatness it was, and knocking off the undefeated Patriots, that's enough greatness to get into the Hall of Fame. And the Hall of Fame voters told you, no, it's not. No, it's not. We're looking for great. Eli Manning wasn't great enough.
Your official home to talk New York Jets. Call us anytime at 888-808-1019. The Fan, 1019 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 154, McMonagle here with you. Almost 2 hours down. Still got three more to go. As we take it to 5 a.m. and the warm-up show, we're going through some of the awards last night. Happy to see Josh Allen win the MVP. I do think, Josh, like, if you go through, we have this discussion about MVP all the time, about what it actually means. I do think, if you want to talk about valuable, I do think he deserves this award. I also think that Lamar Jackson was the better player this year. You look at the numbers, he had the far superior season. But I do think he had more help. I do think that team was overall better. And I think as great as he is and as much as he is the Baltimore Ravens, it's not the same as what Josh Allen is to the Buffalo Bills. And it is, me and Fleas were just talking about this. There's a lot of people who are speculating because it's the same voter pool that votes for All-Pro that votes for MVP. And so Lamar Jackson wins All-Pro, which is, you know, the best at the position. So he wins the best at the position. Josh Allen wins the MVP. It's kind of like a little quid pro quo. Well, we want to get both of them the award because theoretically, like, if a lot of people argue about what MVP means, like, All-Pro and MVP should be the same player if it's at the same position. But the idea of, oh, you could justify it and get them both an award by saying, well, look, he had the better statistical season, he was the better quarterback, but he had Derrick Henry. He had a more talented defense. And Josh Allen, with a lesser team, won more games. So he's more valuable while Lamar Jackson was the better overall quarterback. So I think that makes sense. And I do. I think Josh Allen deserved the MVP. I think he was incredibly important to his team. He drags them. I mean, he just drags them. He had a great year. He deserves it. Good to see him get it. Plus, Lamar's already got two. Not that that should matter. Ultimately, that shouldn't matter. If you're the MVP, you're the MVP. It doesn't matter how many you've won. Kevin O'Connell, coach of the year. They were projected, their over-under was 6.5. 6.5 to start the year. And I think people recognized early on, like after they played the Giants, even though the Giants were terrible and Daniel Jones was terrible in the game, just the way they played, the way Sam Darnold threw the ball, you knew that this team was going to be better than everybody thought. And they had a great year. And he's obviously one of the best coaches. Listen, in the big game, right now, so far, he's lost games he shouldn't be losing. Not with a 13-win team. Not with a 14-win team. I mean, he lost to Daniel Jones and the New York Giants in the playoffs. That's a tough one that he's going to have to live with. But other than that, I mean, he's a great offensive coach. And we'll see what they do at the quarterback position. I think what the Vikings do at the quarterback position is going to be one of the more interesting storylines of the offseason. Because he's got a history and won a Super Bowl with the Rams and obviously Stafford, whose wife is doing her podcast. I think her name is Kelly. I don't know if you saw her podcast. She's openly talking about, like, getting ready to move on from L.A. That, you know, she wants him to win. She wants the respect. Just because his wife says it doesn't mean that this is how he's feeling necessarily. Sometimes your wife feels a certain way about things that you don't necessarily feel. And she has a platform to give her opinions. But, I mean, she was very upset they traded Cooper Kupp. Or at least, you know, they haven't traded him yet. But they're planning on trading Cooper Kupp. And you've got, you know, she's talking about she loves it in L.A., but she's kind of up for an adventure. Like, she's looking to go. So, I mean, if there's another team besides L.A. that he's playing for next year, I could see Minnesota feeling like they're that legit quarterback away because I could knock the coach and tell you he's lost the big game. Kirk Cousins did not play well against the Giants, and obviously Sam Darnold was awful. So if you bring in Matthew Stafford and you put him in Minnesota, the next 2 years you got legitimate chance to get to the Super Bowl. So I think that is going to be one of the more fascinating off-season storylines is who's the quarterback for Minnesota. Because with that coach, with that team, they've got a really good group and they got a chance to do something. Jared Verse won Defensive Rookie of the Year. Comeback Player of the Year, Joe Burrow, who was unbelievable. And, you know, he's one of my favorite players to watch. I love watching Joe Burrow play. You could if he had half a defense, we could be not only talking about comeback player of the year, MVP. That's how good Joe Burrow is. And he's the one guy proven to be able to beat the great Kansas City Chiefs. Offensive player of the year, Saquon Barkley. Big shocker. Big shocker. Saquon Barkley, offensive rookie of the year. I'm just glad he didn't recognize the Giants in his acceptance speech. Patrick Sertan, defensive player of the year. Jaden Daniels, offensive rookie of the year. Obviously, and assistant coach of the year, Ben Johnson. But Jaden Daniels, offense, I'm worried we're going to be seeing a lot of MVPs next to his name.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.